Well, today we're once again continuing our series, which is simply titled Our Core Values. It's a series that's been helping us better understand the core values here at Dallas Foursquare Church. And if you've been with us at all through this series, you know that we actually added a core value. When we started our church 11 years ago, we started with six core values, or so we thought that's what we started with. But as I've shared throughout this series at one of our staff meetings this past year, my wife, Stacy, had made the comment that, you know, we really have seven core values. And she pointed out the fact that generosity is something that we've always valued. We just hadn't identified it as a core value. And as she shared that, it resonated with me because I think it's true. We have always been about generosity from day one. Our letterhead actually confirms that, because on our letterhead from day one and still to this day at the bottom, it says this: love generously, live generously, give generously. And so we are a church that's generous. It's part of who we are. And so when we kicked off this series, we officially made generosity our seventh core value. And so our core values are the fact that, one, we value God's word. Two, we value worship. We value obedience. We value people. We value authenticity. We value simplicity. And we value generosity. And these seven core values, they really help define who we are and how we operate as a church. Now, we started off several weeks ago talking about our first core value, which was God's Word. And we talked about the importance of not just reading the Word, but knowing the Word, understanding the Word, and actually living His Word out. And then we talked about the fact that we value worship, the fact that our lives should be worship to the Lord. And we worship the Lord with our lives by glorifying Him in all that we do and delighting in doing it. And then we talked about the fact that we value obedience, everyone's favorite, right? The fact that we're called to listen to the Lord and obey His commands. And then last week we talked about the fact that we value people, which means all people are valued here. All people are welcome here. All people will be loved in this place. That is our desire. And again, if you missed any of these messages, I would encourage you to go and to watch or to listen to them online, especially if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home church, because I think it's important that we all know and understand these values and what they mean to us as a church, and really to us as individuals. Now, this week, we're going to take a look at our fifth core value, which is the fact that we value authenticity. And I believe that this is one of those values that people struggle with more than they realize, right? Yeah, I love authenticity, but yet I don't want to be authentic, right? I also believe this, that it's the lack of authenticity that has caused so many problems for the Christian church as a whole. Over the years, the Christian church, you know, talking about as a whole, right, the church in general, for years, the church hasn't done a very good job of actually allowing people to be authentic. You heard me say last week that I want us to be a church where people can come as they are. And I mean that. We mean that here at Dallas Foursquare Church. If you remember, if you were here last week, at the end of the message, I mentioned a song that when I heard it on the radio, it bothered me. It's a song by Matthew West, which is a great song, okay, titled Truth Be Told. But one of the lines in that song says, there's a sign on the door that says, come as you are, I doubt it, right? And it bothered me because we say, come as you are, and we mean it. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, I mean it. I mean it. And that's why that song offended me. We mean it. But the thing is, the church has used that phrase for years. But even in that phrase, the church as a whole has lacked authenticity. They've said, yeah, come as you are. But what they really meant was come as you are, as long as you're not too messed up, right? Come as you are, as long as you're willing to change everything dramatically that day, right? But here's the thing, I don't believe that's the heart of Jesus. That's not his theology. When Jesus calls us to come to him, I believe he truly means come as you are. And if we're being honest, this is hard for us to fully grasp, especially in the world that we live in today. Because the world today has taught us that image is everything. That what counts is how we look or the impression that we give off. And unfortunately, the church has bought into this. The church has perfected the art of faking it. And this idea of a perfect Christian and a perfect church, I want to tell you, is a myth. It doesn't exist, okay? And it's not who Jesus is calling us to be. We're called to be people of authenticity, to be people who are real. People who actually live real lives. Now, there's two parts to this reality of being authentic. And let me explain what I'm talking about. You see, if we claim to be followers of Jesus, then our lives should reflect that, right? We should be people who show the love of Jesus, who live like Jesus lived. But as believers who live in a fallen, broken world, we can't act like we have everything together when we don't. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He wants us to be authentic and do our best to live our lives for him, but he also wants us to be real and honest when we fail and fall short. Now, if you were to look at our values page on the website, you'd see that the scripture we have there for this value is a chunk of scripture in Ephesians 5. It's Ephesians 5 verses 8 through 13. If you have your Bibles, you can open to there. Ephesians 5 this morning. This is going to be our main text that I use as we talk about this value of authenticity. And in this section of Scripture, Paul is addressing believers. And he is challenging them to live the lives that God has called them to live. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. I also, it's a short section of Scripture this morning, so I have it to go up on the screen. This is what it says in Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 13. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light, of the light, consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. It starts here saying that we were once darkness, but now we are the light of the Lord. And Paul is addressing something that he was actually talking about in the previous chapter. The reality that we are new creations in Christ. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul tells us to put off the old self and to put on the new. To step out of this life of darkness where we once lived, before we were Christians, without Christ, and to begin to live in the light as we learn to live authentic lives for Jesus. But here's the thing. Oftentimes, instead of shedding the old, we just hide. We hide the old, right? We try to cover it up. And instead of living the authentic life that God has called us to live, we live these double lives. Right now, if you were to go to the theater, there's a good chance you'd be able to watch a superhero movie, right? Every year there are numerous Marvel or DC superhero movies that play on the big screen. And that's because many of us are enthralled with superheroes. And the interesting thing about these superheroes is that most of them live double lives. They have their superhero lives over here, and then their secret life that nobody knows about over here. And the sad thing is, many of us live our lives as Christians in the same way. We have our nice little Christian lives here on Sundays, and then we have our secret, not so perfect lives that we live throughout the rest of the week, out in our workspaces, in our schools, wherever we are. And the sad thing is, many of us don't realize the damage that these double lives cause us and those around us. You see, the reason authenticity is one of our core values is because it's the lack of authenticity that has actually hurt the church over the years. Now, I know that many of you are aware that I am a huge Toby Mac fan. But before I was a Toby Mac fan, I was a huge DC Talk fan, right? The band that Toby Mac was in before he became Toby Mac by himself. And DC Talk, they had this song titled, What If I Stumble, right? It's a great song. What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my something? I lost and make fools of us all. Something like that. I lost it. Man, I'm getting old. I used to know every DC Talk song word for word. It's been a while, man. But they had this song, What If I Stumble? And the thing is, the song is awesome, but the reason I'm bringing up this song is because on the CD, right, you know, that was back when you had CDs, before that song started, there was an audio sample. DC Talk used to do this a lot. They'd use audio samples of different people. But there was this audio sample before that song that they played by the words of Brendan Manning. And in that audio sample, Brendan Manning shared some words that really sums up the tragedy of this double life that so many Christians live. I want to share with you the words that he spoke. This is what you would hear, the audio sample you would hear before this song. It says this: the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Powerful words, right? The truth is, the church itself over the years has been one of the biggest reasons people don't want to go to church. One of the most common reasons you'll hear people say why they don't go to church is what? It's because the church is full of hypocrites, right? The church is full, and again, we're all hypocrites. Everybody's a hypocrite. It's one of those things. But that's the common thing that you'll hear. And unfortunately, there's some truth to that. And this is why authenticity is one of our core values here at Dallas Four Square Church. Because I don't want to be that church. I don't want to be a church that pushes people away. You see, my desire as a pastor is that when people walk in these doors, they see a real church. They see real people, and they see a real pastor who doesn't have it all together. People who are living authentic lives for Christ. People who are real about the fact that we're messed up and that we fail. I want this to be a place where we can remove our masks, right? We don't have to act like someone we're not. We don't have to put this facade that looks like we have it together. Where we can truly come as we are and know that we'll be loved and accepted, warts and all, right? Where we can grow together in the Lord and encourage one another as we figure out what it means to live authentic lives for Christ. Where we learn what it means for each of us to be imperfect people, yet walk in His righteousness. That balance, right? The problem is the idea of authenticity is hard for many people, and it can be a little scary for us. And so this morning, I want to take some time to talk about two fears that I believe keep us from living authentic lives. Two fears that cause us to struggle with truly living authentically. The first one is this. Number one, the fear of being exposed. If I live an authentic life, that means I'm going to have to expose the truth of who I am. And there's this fear of being exposed. Oftentimes we're afraid that people will realize we're not the superheroes that we've pretended to be. We're afraid people might realize we're not the perfect Christian family that people think we are. That we don't have it all together. And it's this fear of exposure that often keeps us from being willing to be authentic. You see, we don't mind when our strengths are exposed, right? Oh, Darren, you're so awesome, and you just do these amazing things. What I do? Oh, you saw that? Right? We love that, right? We don't mind when our strengths are exposed. But the last thing we want is for people to see our weaknesses. And we surely don't want our insecurities or failures exposed. Why? Because we're afraid of what others might think of us. But the thing we have to understand and actually be okay with is the fact that all of us have weaknesses. All of us have failures. All of us fall short at times in our life. And as much as we want to be people, or as much as we want people to believe we have it all together, the truth is nobody has it all together. I know you guys think I do. I probably look like it a lot. I think you guys know, if you've been around here enough, you know that I don't have it all together. Jesus is the only one who walked this earth that had it all together. We all have flaws. This is why it's so ironic that we're afraid of being exposed, right? We want to pretend like we have it together, but we know we don't, and we know no one else does, but yet it's ironic, right, that we're afraid of being exposed. But if we're all truthful and honest about our problems, I believe it wouldn't be so scary. We all have weaknesses. We all have failures. We all have insecurities. And so why do we pretend so often that we don't? Why do we fake it? Why do we wear these masks? Why do we live these double lives? I think it's because in our minds, it seems so much easier, right? And at the time, maybe it is easier to put up the mask to show in this way. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:11, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them?" You see, because of that, it's real easy for us to wear a mask. It's easy to fake it because nobody really knows what's going on inside of my head. Nobody really knows the struggles I'm going through inside, right? And so it's easy to fake it because other people don't know. Nobody knows what's going on in here, and so I can hide that. In the entire universe, there is only one person who knows the truth about us, and that's God, right? And here's the thing. He's not surprised by any of it. He knows how messed up we are. He knows who we really are. He knows our true identity. And he knows if we really want to live a life of authenticity, we're going to have to be people who allow others to see our weaknesses. We're going to have to be open and honest with one another. So the question is, how do we overcome this fear of exposure? I believe it's by choosing to walk in the light, in His light. Verse 13 of Ephesians 5, it says, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." It's realizing that God doesn't want to expose these things to embarrass us. He's like, oh, watch, I'm going to show these people how messed up He is, and this is going to be funny. We're all going to laugh and shame them, right? That's not God's desire at all. God doesn't want to expose these things to embarrass us or to shame us. Jesus rejected shame on the cross. We talked about that at Easter. He doesn't want to expose our weaknesses to shame us. He wants to expose our weaknesses so that we can deal with them and become who He's called us to be. Begin to truly live the authentic lives that He's called us to live so that He can turn our weaknesses into His strengths. Because in our weakness, He is made strong. As we live authentically and allow God's light to expose these things in our life, it allows us to walk in freedom, to walk in His righteousness, right? We are imperfect, but we get to walk in His righteousness. And the cool thing is oftentimes our authenticity, if we're truly authentic and truly real with one another, it helps others to become authentic. It helps others to walk in the light. Let me share with you a personal example from my own life. Many of you have heard me talk about this before, the fact that when I was in high school, I was one that lived that double life, right? I wasn't living an authentic life when I was in high school. My parents, my youth pastor, the people at church, they thought I was this great Christian kid that had it all together. But the truth is, I was living this double life. I went to church. I was even a student leader in my youth group. And I loved the Lord. But when no one was around, I was struggling with pornography. And the thing is, I knew it was wrong. I really wanted to come clean. I wanted to confess. I wanted to tell someone. But I couldn't. Because I was afraid of how exposing those dark areas in my life might affect me, right? I was afraid of what people might think of me or what they might say about me if they heard about the struggle I was dealing with. I was afraid of ruining this perfect image that I had as this great Christian kid in my church and youth group. And so I continued to hide it. I continued to keep it a secret. Now, shortly after I graduated, I started going to this college group at my church. And in that group, I had met a guy that I became pretty close with. He was actually a groundskeeper at a golf course in Eugene, and he actually had his own place right there on the golf course, his own little caddy shack. And it really was a shack, but it was cool for an 18, 19-year-old kid, right? And so I hung out with him there all the time, watching movies, golfing for free. It was pretty cool set up with him there. And one night after watching some movies, we were hanging out and talking about life and just our desire to be in ministry and serve the Lord. And he began to get emotional. And it was then that he began to share with me how he had been struggling with pornography. And it started going down roads with his girlfriend that he knew he shouldn't be going down. And this is weird to say, but as he was pouring out his heart and almost in tears, I felt this excitement welling up inside of me. Not because I was happy that he'd been struggling with these things, but because I felt like this was finally my opportunity to tell someone, to come clean, to admit my own failures to someone else. And I remember just starting to blurt out how I had been dealing with the same things and how I needed to repent too. And I remember we were just like gushing out at each other our failures and struggles and crying together. But here's the thing, it started with Him being authentic. His authenticity and willingness to confess these things to me actually opened the door for me to then be authentic and to allow these weaknesses in my life to be exposed. And the two of us then together, we went to our college pastor and we shared these struggles that we had had with him. And I think that was the turning point in my life where I began to realize the importance of authenticity. And I didn't always do it well. I struggled even when I was in the Marine Corps, but I knew the importance and I really sought to walk in authenticity. And that's because it was as if this weight that I had been carrying for years was finally lifted off my shoulders. This thing that I had been hiding that no one else knew, I was finally able just to get it out. And take a deep breath, right? You know, going off my notes here for a minute. When we fail, the only person we really have to confess to is Jesus, right? That's the matter. We confess to Him, He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But there's Scripture that talks about confessing one to another. And if you read that Scripture, what it really talks about is how it brings healing. And so, I just want to, this is that aspect of authenticity which is huge that I didn't have in my notes, that there is something powerful that happens. Like, we confess our sins and Jesus forgives us, but there's something, sometimes this weight on us. And when we talk to someone else about that, that's where the healing begins. And that's true authenticity that allows us to grow and become who God has called us to be. It opened the door for me to begin to put off the old and to put on the new, right? To begin to live in the light, to become the light that Jesus has called me to be. And the bottom line is if we allow the fear of being exposed to keep us from removing the mask, then we'll never experience the authentic life that God has called us to live here on this earth. We'll never experience the freedom that comes from walking in His light, from walking in His righteousness. We have to get over this fear of being exposed and realize that it's a good thing, not a bad thing. It allows us to remove the masks and begin to be the people that God has called us to be, to become His light, to live as His light. So we have to get over this fear of being exposed. The second thing that I think keeps us from taking off the mask is this. It's the fear of rejection. We don't want to let people see the real us because we're afraid they won't like what they see. We're afraid they might reject us if they find out who we really are or the things that we've actually done in our lives. Proverbs 29:5 says this, "The fear of human opinion disables." The fear of human opinion disables. Think about that for a moment. How often do we allow the opinion of others to disable us? How often do we allow the opinions of others to affect what we do or how we live? We spend a good portion of our lives trying to earn the acceptance of others. How we dress, how we talk, the kind of car we drive, the kind of jobs we'll take or we won't take. The opinion of people, the opinion of others affects how and what we do. And our fear of those opinions can paralyze us. And the question is, why do we fear the opinions of other people, especially people we don't even know? I think if we're truly honest with ourselves, it's because we all have a deep desire to be loved and accepted. As a matter of fact, we don't just have a desire to be loved, we actually need to be loved. We were created by God, to be loved by God and to be loved by others. It's one of the basic needs that we were created with. We were created to be loved. And because of this, we do our best to make sure we're not unloved, right? To make sure that we're not rejected. And sadly, this drives us to do extreme things where we put on these masks and do whatever we need to do, jump through whatever hoops we need to jump through to be loved and accepted by others. But the thing we need to understand is that putting on a mask or living a false life isn't the answer to our need for love. You see, the answer to our fear of rejection is to trust in God's love, in His good and perfect love. The Bible tells us in Daniel 10:19, "Don't be afraid, for you are deeply loved by God. Be at peace, take heart, and be strong." The reality is we're going to experience rejection at times in our lives in this fallen, broken world. And that's whether we wear a mask or don't wear a mask. We're going to be rejected. But the thing we have to remember is that God's love is not based on conditions. It's not based on performance. His love is unconditional. He loves us, period. And it's His love that we should be seeking more than anything. We don't have to put on a mask. We don't have to be someone we're not to be loved by God. We don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to Him. Jesus allows us to come as we are, to come in our broken state. Because the truth is, He sees beyond the masks anyway. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. And guess what? He still loves us. I think about that, I'm like, wow, I'm messed up. Thoughts that go through my head sometimes. My wife, I'll say things, she goes, "Man, it's a good thing you're a Christian." Because I have all sorts of weird thoughts of how I could steal this, how I could do that. Now, I won't do it because I'm a Christian and I know that that's not what God's desire, but the thoughts pop through my head. And sometimes I'm like, "And you still love me, God?" He still loves us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't say, "Oh, I'll die for all of those who have it all together and figure it out and get things right. You come over here, you're the ones I'm dying for." He died for all of us while we were yet sinners. God knows that the mask will only keep us from becoming who He actually created us to be. Those secret identities, all they do is hold us back. He wants us to remove the mask and begin to walk in authenticity. God's desire for His church is that it would be a place where people can be authentic. And that this church would be a place where people walk in authenticity. A place where people can truly come as they are. Not with a fear of being exposed, but with an opportunity to be real and honest and to give our failures to Him. Not with a fear of rejection, but with the knowledge and understanding of God's unconditional love. My heart and desire is that this church would be a safe place for anybody that walks in it, where all are welcome and all are loved. That when people walk in those doors back there, that they can come without judgment and without the fear of rejection. And I can guarantee you that's what you're going to get from me. And I hope that that's what we'll get from all of us here, because this is one of the core values of Dallas Foursquare Church. This is a place where we seek to be like Jesus and love and accept people right where they're at. It starts with us being willing to remove our masks and allowing God to then mold and shape us into the authentic followers of Christ that he desires us to be. People who love him, who love others, and who help to see his kingdom extended. That's God's mission for our church, and it's his mission for all of us. And so let's carry out this mission together as we seek to live authentic lives for Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we continue to go through our core values, I'm blown away, Lord, at who you desire us to be as a church. I'm so thankful for these core values that you've given us. Lord, these core values represent who you are and who you desire us to be. You want us to be more like you. And they're challenging, they're difficult, they can be scary at times. But Lord, we want to be willing to push through what's scary, to push through the fears that we have, to truly live the authentic lives that you've called us to live, Lord. And so I thank you for the people here at this church, Lord. I know my heart and desire is to love everyone that walks in this door, but I know that that is the heart of so many of us here, Lord. We truly want to be the church that you've called us to be. We want to live out these core values in our lives. And so, Lord, help us as we continue to walk through these core values to search our hearts and to see those areas where we can improve, those areas where we can do better. Not so that we can wallow in how bad we've done, but so that we can just seek to become who you've called us to be, that we can identify our weaknesses and our failures, because in our weakness you are made strong. And as we give these things to you, you help us grow and become who you've called us to be. We're all imperfect people, Lord. I might be one of the most here. But you took someone who failed. You took someone who continued to make mistakes. You took someone who continued to live a double life. And now you're using me for your glory. And your desire is to do that for all of us, Lord. That we would continue to be molded and shaped into who you are calling us to be, so that we can expose the darkness in our lives. And as your light shines upon it, that we can become your light. A light that shines in a way that draws people to you. That is our heart. That is our desire here at Dallas Four Square Church. We thank you for these things, Lord. We just pray you allow these words to speak to each of us where we're at. What is it that we, as individuals, need to hear this morning? What is it that you want to speak to us? How can we grab hold of these things and be better people tomorrow because of what you're speaking into our lives today? We thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory and honor. I lay this word before you, Lord. I pray that I've done a good job of decreasing so that you might increase and speak through me today. And I pray that all of us have ears and hearts to hear what you want to speak to us. We thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.